This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. Today we're going to look at an area author who has just finished their first novel, and we're really looking forward to learning more about it. Lad Mitchell, welcome to Community Voices.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So first, Lad, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How'd you get to deciding you wanted to write a book?
I am originally from the Springfield area, and I'm primarily a musician most of my career. I play in a band called Park, and we run a small label in Santa Barbara, California called Lobster Records. From about 1996 to 2006-7, I was a professionally touring musician. During that period of time, there's a lot of downtime. I spent a lot of it reading and starting to write, and then after the band ceased operations in 2007, we're still a little active these days. After that, I started getting into fiction writing and wrote a couple of test novels just for myself, just to see how that went. Felt that I had the ability to do an actual self-published one, so that's kind of what led me down the road of starting the project of Theory Marksburn.
So you headed out to California with the band for a little while. Was that hoping to find yourself in the scene that would see it explode?
We had pretty realistic expectations of that. We had some friends who were in bands that got really, really large. From seeing how that process worked, I knew I didn't want ever to be in that position.
It's a good thing to know. Not everybody realizes that.
Yeah, there are perks and drawbacks to both.
I'm glad you pursued that part of the dream, and now you've got a new part that you're making reality. This is your first book, self-published?
Correct, yep, first self-published book.
It's available where somebody wants to get it after we talk about it?
Sure. It's available primarily on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and type in Theory Marksburn, the book will come up. Or if you go to lcmitchellwrites.com, it'll be available on there as well. Link back to the Amazon. And it's available in both ebook and paperback formats.
Although your name is Ladd, L-A-D-D Mitchell, You're going by L.C. Mitchell as your byline on your novels.
Correct. Yeah, that is my author name.
You just mentioned the title of the book, Theory Marksburn. Theory is the primary character of the story. How'd you come up with that name? It's somewhat unusual.
I get asked that quite a bit. I came up with it by trial and error. Earlier drafts of the novel, I had a placeholder name for the character, and I knew that wasn't going to be it. And I wanted something that would pop out, and you see athletes with very interesting names, and I always wonder if the parents did that on purpose. I think Netflix had a special about a quarterback, and his name was Spencer Rattler, and I'm like going, I think they did that on purpose. So I knew it had to be a name that would catch the ear. I used the law of just kind of letting it come to me, because the harder I tried to think of this, you know, name, the more it was elusive, and then right when I was like, okay, it'll come when it's supposed to come, I just kind of found it laying there, seemingly in a pile of other names that I was like, oh, I can use that and take that, and that should be the character's name. And I was actually had a bunch of other titles for the book, and my wife was like, that should be the title of the book, because that's an unusual name.
Interesting that was one of the latter parts of the creative process, and it was the thing that clicked that stood out for the title of the book too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like trying to think of what color the house is going to be while you're building the house. It doesn't matter, yeah, but it's one of those things that you approach at the very end, and that's what I did, and that's what worked well for me with that.
We have a book here. You mentioned it touches on athletics. Give us a sense of the setting of the book.
Theory Marksburn is about a D1 college athlete, Division I, in her last season of her collegiate volleyball career, has some inexplicable happenings occur, and she can't really reconcile those. And so she has to go on this self journey of why she started playing the sport in the first place. And what she discovers is that those reasons aren't as pure or as simple or innocent as she imagined. She goes on this journey of self-reflection and self-discovery, and it's pretty painful. She has to go to some pretty dark places, and she does those, you know, on her own, as most people do. And athletes, I think, probably have a little bit harder journey with that, because they're the equivalent of the modern day gladiators, and we don't want to see them in a weak light. She has to go on that journey, and it's as Jung would put it, a journey into your shadow self.
Volleyball. Are you an athlete or a big volleyball fan? How'd you choose that as part of the setting?
I played sports in high school, but my wife played volleyball throughout grade school all the way up until college, and then some semi-pro ball. And the way I landed on volleyball was we'd always watch games on TV when they're available, and with the popularity of the sport growing, it's a lot more available now. But in 2018, specifically on December 15th, 2018 is when I first got the idea for the book, I watched a college match between Stanford, Nebraska in the NCAA finals, and I just caught myself asking, we're seeing this finished product of these two teams playing. I just kept thinking, this is just probably an echo, a tiniest echo of what goes on behind the scenes. And we're not seeing all the struggles, all the strife, all the things that these amazing athletes put themselves through to then perform on this center stage. And so I wanted to explore what that looked like. And I remember I went home and asked my wife 30 questions about volleyball, and she was like, why don't you just go read a book and maybe satiate your curiosity that way? And I couldn't find one, a good fiction volleyball book that touched on the subject and the things that I wanted to know about. There's a lot of coaching material out there. There's a lot of juvenile young adult material. So I thought, well, maybe I'll try to tackle that. And so I started talking to coaches and ex-players and professional players and journalists, just kind of started that journey. And one of the first people I talked to was a prominent figure in the volleyball world. I told them this idea I had. There was a very long pause, and they said, don't do that. And what I heard was, don't do it because you can't do it. But what they were really saying was, have realistic expectations of what you're jumping into, because you're going to do a lot of work for possibly not a lot of payoff. And so I understood their point of view with that. I obviously trudged forward with it. And 5 years later, almost 6 years later, here I am with the finished product.
So this effort has taken you 5 years.
Yeah, it took a lot. So it took only about 3 or 4 months to write the first draft, and then several years to just rewrite it and rehone it. I had it, I think the original draft was 150,000 words, and I got that down to 86. So that was the process, just getting it down to that deliverable, digestible amount.
But really sparked by curiosity about volleyball, and then launching you into research.
Absolutely, yeah. And I wanted to make sure that I understood the struggles that were going on behind the scenes that I believe and know at the collegiate program level, those mental health struggles are dealt with very, very quickly by the coaching staff and everyone. But at the public level, I didn't know if that... It seems like there's still a little bit of hesitancy to bring those up. And that's what I wanted to explore. And I think that it's coming out into the light just a little bit more now. For example, there is a player for Penn State who was the freshman of the year last year, who helped Penn State win the national championship. And this year, coming back as a sophomore, said, I can't do this. I need to take a break. I thought that was one of the bravest things to do. And ironically, I don't know why I did this. I looked up how many words in the English language for brave we have, or like words. And it's over like 300. But help is not associated with any of those. Because I think help is one of the bravest things anyone could ever say. And that took a lot of bravery on that player's part.
So this applies across the board beyond volleyball to anybody in athletics or in pursuit of, a dream like music or art or anything. You put a bit of pressure on yourself, or you look at perfectionism and different things. We have folks, I remember when I lived out in Arizona, somebody thought their child was going to be a great baseball player. They'd move to Arizona just to put them in these semi-pro leagues to make sure their kids got every opportunity to be the greatest pitcher ever. Boy, that's a lot of expectation we put on people.
It is. And then another theme, just kind of piggybacking off what you said, another theme in the book is there's reasons why we do all the things we do. We select the passions that we select. We sometimes run so fast and so hard that we forget why we're running in the first place. And that's a common theme with Theory, where she's a wonderful player, but to the point where she's so driven and so honed in on what she wants, which is, to be a professional volleyball player and then hopefully an Olympic athlete. She's so honed in on that it almost alienates her from her team. Her being a high-performing athlete, she doesn't understand why other people don't have that drive. And it's this reason that comes up in these inexplicable events that I won't give away in the book that drive her towards the reason she started doing all of this stuff in the first place. And I think a lot of the reasons why we choose our passions is probably an attempt to heal some kind of trauma from the past in some instances, not all instances, but like I said, I think there's a reason why we do all this stuff.
Every story has to have conflict.
And absolutely. Yeah.
Trauma is a pretty handy one when you're writing something to be able to explore.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you go to write this, how did you figure out this conflict? And because you have to have a conflict, you have to have a beginning, a middle, end. How did you explore that? How did you figure out how to put that together?
I knew I needed to have a conduit for theory experiencing the conflict of not being a perfect person and a perfect athlete like she wants to be. And in that degree, she's a pretty flawed person, as we all are. But that's what attracts us to characters in the first place, is that they have these flaws. But I knew I needed some kind of conduit for that. And so I thought of the idea of a book within the book. So in the story, she finds a book that just appears out of nowhere. And in that book, which she starts reading, there's a parallel self of her. But that doppelganger gives into every inhibition that she fights. So she starts to become jealous of this other her. And that's the conduit to which she starts experiencing some change and trying to figure out why she started, you know, tracing back why she started playing this sport. It was tough doing that, because what gave me an idea was athletes are under all this stress, high performing athletes, you know, even more, because they're just cut from a different cloth. And I thought that having that pressure could create a rift within her, as it does in most people. And she experiences that through this book that she is reading.
The book almost provides a parallel universe for her.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the characters in the book. It seems mostly centered around Theory, Mark Sverne, who is this athlete. But who else is around her? Who supports her? How does that work?
So she alienates herself almost kind of on purpose from the rest of her teammates, which is not the norm. When you're an high-performing athlete, just an athlete in general, your teammates are your family. So she tends to push everyone away. There's the setter on the team is someone named Jen McDonald, and she's the exact opposite of Theory. Theory's very reserved, very, I wouldn't say proper, but, you know, just professional. Jen is absolutely disgusting as a person. And so she pushes Theory to be a different version of herself. And there's a character also in the book, a professor, that Theory kind of has an academic, I wouldn't say courtship's the right word, kind of conflicts with, because there are some professors, you know, I'm saying all, but look at institutions of colleges and institution of learning, and sports might get a little bit too much attention. They might target athletes and say, you know, I'm going to give this person a hard time because, you know, they're here for sports and not for academia. I have that relationship with her, and that professor is very, it's a little cat and mouse, but they learn how to respect one another, and they actually end up helping each other quite a bit, because she knows he's has a lot of life experience. He's a Vietnam veteran and has experienced his own trauma. So he guides her through the process of, or gives her some pointers on how to go through the process of her own trauma.
Anything else? I don't want to give up the nature of the book, but anything else you think folks should know about the book before they go and read it?
One thing, my hope for the book and what it delivers is overall tells people to slow down. Because I think we, like I said earlier, we run so fast and so hard that we're so scared of slowing down and having this perceived emptiness chasing behind us to catch up with us and to sit with us, when that emptiness really is nothing more than a false fear, and it's only full of what we put into it. I would hope that people would just get out of it, just to slow down and, you know, take things one thing at a time, and that we don't always have to be running so fast and so hard to achieve this proverbial finish line that's really not a finish line. It's just the start of something else.
In theory, if I caught it, this is in Illinois. This is at a school in Illinois she's at?
It's a little tricky. The school she's at is fictional. It's called Petrusia University, and it is in California. But the book she is reading is set in Illinois.
Okay. For those who love Illinois and Central Illinois, that's a nice tie for us to have there. We really appreciate you coming in. We've been talking with Ladd Mitchell, the author of Theory Marksburn, his first book. The byline on it, or the author name, is L.C. Mitchell, which I'm sure is Ladd C. Mitchell or something like that.
Yeah, it's just my middle name.
So anything you'd like to leave us with as we wrap up?
I think everyone should just give the sport of volleyball a huge, firm nod and look at what those great, amazing athletes are doing. It is a sport that is just growing in popularity right now, as it should be. And if you're not familiar with volleyball, go to a high school game, go to a college game, go support the two new professional leagues that are out now. They have a smattering of teams throughout the country. If you live in one of those areas where those teams are available, go support those teams and just help grow the sport of volleyball, because it is an amazing, amazing sport.
Set it up and spike it. Well, we appreciate you coming on Community Voices, Ladd Mitchell, with your first book, Theory Marksburn, available at Amazon and maybe other places eventually, but Amazon right now. We look forward to seeing how the book grows.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.